Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the program. My name is Simon Barrett, and as always, I'm joined by my excellent panel. From Youngstown, Ohio, author, activist, barkeep, and owner of a missing house, Sam Moffey. Sam, welcome.
Simon, thank you for that rousing tribute and opening salvo. I'm looking forward to a great show because there's nothing else. I've shoveled all I can shovel, and now I've got to flap my mouth.
Okay, Sam, two snowflakes were spotted in Mississippi and Louisiana, the two states closed for the day. I'm assuming you've had more than a couple of flakes.
Yeah, like I was telling everybody on the wonderful panel earlier, we haven't had a lot of accumulation until yesterday. We got 11 inches of snow, whiteout conditions. It was terrible, bitter cold. We've had bitter cold, but no snow accumulation until yesterday. And then they tell us Polar Vortex 3 is coming late Monday night or early Tuesday morning. And school systems around here have already sent emails out to their parents telling them starting tomorrow to check the email. The school system just may shut down Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, not open on Thursday. So you can imagine how that's going over with a lot of parents right now.
I was on the radio with T.J. Hart. His talk show is out of Bloomington, Illinois. And he made the comment to me, polar vortex, it sounds like something you should be able to buy at Dairy Queen.
I don't know where they came up with this name. Maybe the members of the panel can help me. When did they start naming winter storms?
No.
Well, when they thought they could make money out of it.
How stupid of me.
I'm pretty certain that at some point naming storms is going to become taxable. Right. Unfortunately, this week, attorney Peter Haven cannot be with us. He's working again. He needs to change jobs. And from Gate State, New Jersey, the place where pound for pound you get more governor for your money, my good friend Bill Conrad. Bill, welcome.
Thank you, Simon. And, you know, one of the things that is a little known fact is that we had some leftover cones from the George Washington Bridge, and we were able to deploy them to Louisiana, Mississippi for you to close your state down. So I just wanted you to know that you need to give a big thank you to our governor for all this help.
I can't remember the exact details, but I do remember a number of years ago, my wife, Jan, told me a story about snow plows and how there weren't any in the state. And, you know, in the inadvertent, you know, chance that, you know, it snowed, that they'd have to bring snow plows in from far afield.
Yeah.
Okay, usually on this program we discuss, you know, important subjects, world-changing subjects, but today I'd like to start with something a little lighter. Teen heartthrob Justin Bieber. He seems to be rapidly losing his nice kid image, hot on the wheels of what is reported to be 20K's worth of damage from egging a neighbor's house. He gets busted for drag racing a Lambo, resisting arrest, and under the influence. Oh, and he just happens to be using an expired driver's license. You know, I view that as one busy night's work for a 19-year-old. Unfortunately, Legal Eagle Peter isn't here to comment on the legal aspects, but we'll just wing it. And Sam, what are your thoughts about the Beeb?
The Beeb. I think he must have an album coming out, and it's nothing but hype before the album comes out, or a music video, or a book, or a movie, or something. You know, he'll buy his way out of it. He already hired one of the most expensive, known lawyers in Florida, that guy who got William Kennedy Smith off for raping somebody, that girl he raped, of course, it's Ted Kennedy's, he was there too, just doesn't remember it, situation, and what's his name, Black, that's his name, the attorney Black got him off, he hired him, they've already got a defense team, you know, second to none, they'll, pay the fine to do all this stuff, and his new album will come out, and be a big hit. Like after Miley Cyrus did her thingamajiggy over the summer, her album shot up to number one on the chart or this or that, whatever it was. It's all about hype. You know, I mean, why, as you posted on Facebook, I think, or something, why wouldn't he just get a limo? Why wouldn't he just get or stay in his house and have the parties that are second to none? He's in Miami, South Miami Beach, which is incredible. It's like Hollywood South, I guess. Famous people and have a fun party. I mean, why would you do what he did? Obviously, he thinks he can get away with it. He probably will get away with it in a society that is worshiping celebrities, especially the bad boys. Justin Bieber wants to be a bad boy now. So that's probably the title of his new album, Bad Boy. That's really all to say about it. I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm glad he didn't hurt anybody. He didn't hurt himself because his sales went up. I mean, what's the kid worth? 50, 60 million, maybe 100 million?
He's worth many more millions than we are.
Right, and he was all over the news. He could sit there all weekend. He could have sat there all weekend or this whole past weekend, watched every news station, CNN, CBS, MSNBC, ABC, you name it, go on the Internet. His face, he was the number one story. Lead story was not Polar Vortex 4, not the Super Bowl, anything else other than it was Justin Bieber. And maybe that's what he wanted to do. Maybe he hasn't been in the news a while. And because I really believe all the celebrities, it's all hype. If something's done on purpose, and that's, of course, it's killing somebody or maiming somebody, that isn't. And it's all done for on purpose. Lindsay Lohan had to get back in the news to make money because she was out of money. I don't think Bieber is. But Bieber's probably got an album coming and he wants to change his image around. And he saw what he did for Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus did that hip gyration and it changed the whole image, did it not?
Oh, absolutely.
The whole image changed now. She is now not Disney Miley Cyrus. She's now slutty Miley Cyrus. And that's what she wanted to be. Because her, Miley Cyrus's fan club is getting older. They're doing all that sort of stuff. They don't want to see her singing Mickey Mouse. They want to see her doing that. And I'm sure it's the same sort of thing with Bieber. And that's it. That's all I got to say about that.
Bill, do you have any Bieber thoughts?
I just think it's amazing. It is. It's all publicity. The interesting thing I heard, it's like when he got stopped at 4 a.m., Lisa, he had owned up to being under the influence of smoking marijuana and some prescription medication to the cop. And then he said to the cop, "What the F did I do?" I'm just dumbfounded. But I did see that on his Facebook, he was willing to do some house sitting out in the Ohio area. If you have more property, that he was willing to move in there for a while. I don't know if they've knocked all your property down or not, but here's an opportunity.
Okay. All right. You know, we're making fun of the Beeb. I think rightly so, but I also think that he's painting a terribly bad image, you know, for his young screaming teenage fans. You know, it's got to stop. At least that's my thought. I'm pretty certain that his management team, I mean, he's got to have at least a couple of adults around him because he's not old enough to buy booze. And, you know, I'm pretty certain that, you know, most booze vendors would look at him and go, "Oh, you're Justin Bieber. Sorry, you can't have that six-pack of Budweiser. You're underage." So, Sam, is there a way to, fix Bieber so he doesn't kill himself or anyone else?
Not my problem. I think I just think it's up to him. Like anybody, I don't think he has a problem. What's the problem? He has the he's no different than a lot of other young kids. It's up to his mouth, billions of dollars and all that stuff. So he got a little high, so he drank, so he did drag race. He didn't hurt anybody. It's his first time to get caught. That doesn't mean he's an alcoholic, a drug addict. He forgot to get his license done. How many people go through that and don't get picked up and, you know, they forget to get the license redone? So to me, as Shakespeare says, it's much to do about nothing. But it's something because it was no football this last week. People are snowed in. They're starved for news. And if this is the top news story, which it was, it's pretty pathetic of a society. And that's what I think the focus ought to be on. This is your top news story? I mean, you know what's going on around the world? I mean, most Americans don't know who Kiev is, but they all know about Justin Bieber's Lamborghini or whatever he drives. And look what's going on in Kiev. Look what's going on as well. But we are a nation that idolizes idols, and he's an idol right now. He's good or bad,
he's an idol.
It's all about him changing his image because he needs to sell more albums, period.
Right, but, you know, I'm not sure that it's so much that he's an idol as he's young, rich, and just out and out stupid.
You don't have to, you know, so he is, but it's not our job to fix him. I'll judge him for what he did, okay? He did nothing more different than, look, he didn't punch out a photographer like Frank Sinatra did when he was his age. I mean, literally beat the guy almost to death. And he didn't, there's a lot of celebrities have done worse, a lot have done better, and, you know, he's somewhere in that. Let's see what he does. You know, since then, I mean, he'll get in trouble, donate money, he'll have to go to classes, anger, whatever he has to do. I mean, look at Lindsay Lohan, look at all these other ones who I just hope Justin Bieber doesn't pose nude. But they're all trying to reclaim their careers. You know, it is about selling albums. It is about whatever's coming up. He just, you know, what was he on? Smoked some dope. Did some drinking, did drag racing. Who drag raced with them? That's what I'd like to know. Were they picked up?
It was a young rapper.
A young rapper, okay.
Oh, sure.
So that's it. You know, I mean, they'll talk about him from now. Now the Super Bowl week has started. We can move along, move away from Justin Bieber and Biebergate. And now move on to Super Bowl. And the big question is, what's the weather going to be like? That's all everybody cares about.
Let's
get away from celebrity worship and let's solve the world's problems. It's more important.
All right. It's Super Bowl. I mean, you brought it up, Sam. who in their right mind would you know, locate a Super Bowl in number one, an open air arena, and number two, in a part of the country where cold in early February is common thing. I mean,
I
wouldn't want.
That's a great idea. I think this is what everyone forgets. This was done 12 years ago as an ode to New York for 9-1-1. They should have played the Super Bowl January of 2002 to help the New York City and as a tip to the hat for the fallen, those who were killed by those murderers and of the Twin Towers, okay, and in the planes. But they didn't. It took them 12. That's how far behind the NFL is. They instituted this back then, and it took 12 years for it to take place. I don't think it's I think it's illogical to presume, well, okay, this year the polar vortex gripped us. No one could predict that. And who's to say next year if the weather wouldn't be a balmy 70 degrees in New York City at this time or other northern places? Stadiums, they're showing up these stadiums. That's what it's about. And let's face it, gang, it's being played in the capital of the world, New York City.
No,
you're
wrong.
The people coming in to play, like my son is, my youngest son now works for Sports Illustrated, okay, the television thing. He said, he just started last week, he said it is amazing the media hype and what is going on, what his schedule is this week with Super Bowl coming in. Who's coming in, who's going to be in the studio, blah, 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 blah. It's, you know, and his boss said, if you think this is the only thing bigger than the swimsuit issue is the Super Bowl and what's coming on this week, and to be prepared. And he's in charge of SI Now, the Twitter and Facebook account, along with doing some video in the studio. And he's just amazed. And who cares that? I love the fact it's going to be played in New York City. And why can't
no,
they play it?
You're wrong.
Why?
You're wrong. It's being played in New Jersey.
You're right. I'm wrong. It's being played in Jersey. You're right. It's being played in Jersey. Okay. MetLife. Know what it's called? MetLife Stadium.
Yeah.
Is MetLife Stadium a state-of-the-art stadium? That's right. That's but the Meadowlands is gone, right? Right, Bill?
Yep. It is gone.
So this is the
only thing they have there is they have pony. They race the ponies there. That's it.
Okay. This is a state-of-the-art stadium, right? State-of-the-art stadium,
yes.
Right. This is a brand-new, spanking new stadium, or a couple of years old, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. They didn't
put a cover on it. That's the thing
that
never made sense to me.
Well, that's because they want to show them off, you know? I mean, and I agree with you. Because I agree with you, but they want to show off the stadium. These are taxpayer-funded stadiums. They got to show the politicians. They go to the NFL, Simon, all of them, Detroit, all the Cleveland, Chicago, and they go, look, we're going to sell the stadium out. This is our payback for you giving all you people paying oodles of amounts of taxpayers' money, and now we're going to have a Super Bowl in your community. How much money is this going to pump into New Jersey, Bill, this week? How much money is it going to pump into New Jersey's coffers? A lot of dough, right?
Yeah.
Tourism.
Absolutely.
Money. That's what it's all about. So why should it? The Pro Bowl's played in Hawaii. The Super Bowl should be played once in every stadium across. That's how I feel about it. That's my take. There's 32 teams. Next year it should be played in. They flip a coin and it's in another. But you know, New York, New Jersey would be out, and the other 31 places would be in. And I think it's a great idea. And if it, you know, and then it rotate. That's what it's for. I mean, loyal to fans. I heard on the radio today that the NFL, by its own estimation, if they're playing three games in London next year, that's a lot, that they have 90 million fans that they can count on across the world. That there's 90 million people who will watch the Super Bowl, whatever, watch the football on every given Sunday. 90 million people are paying attention to what's going on in the NFL. That is incredible. They could play the game in effing Antarctica and no one would give a shit. They could play the game on one of those big, huge boats and float it down the river and people would watch it and go to it. They got it made. So does it really matter what a game's played as long as it's a good game?
Okay. Let's talk about ticket price. It's a once-a-year event. You know, one might expect tickets to be slightly more expensive than, the run-of-the-mill game, but even the run-of-the-mill game is expensive. I read somewhere that, you know, even nosebleed seats have something like a $4,000 tab, and that's face value. And of course, they're trading for much more. I think, why do we have to do this? Sam, I mean, doesn't it annoy you that, you know, essentially people are buying a $100 chicken wing rather than a 15-cent chicken wing?
Simon, I look at it this way. The prices are outrageous anyway, even during the regular season. And it's even made worse that the fact that the taxpayers of every community or every state have added up through the nose to pay for a game that owned by billionaires, played by millionaires, okay? We all know that. It's wrong. But the first stadium that got away with it, the die was cast, as they say. Of course, they're going to gouge. You know, those that can afford these permanent seat licenses, the stadiums who go there, buck the traffic, spend all day, you know, dressed up like the crazy fan base. They go and there's 90 million people watching it. The people who will rip their shirts off at minus the temperature and have San Diego Chargers written on their chest or John 316 or whatever it may be. I will tell you this. If I had the money, Cleveland Browns, this is never going to happen, gang. Well, I might have the money. Yes, that may happen, but the next will never happen. The Browns getting into the Super Bowl. If the Browns win a Super Bowl and I had the money and the time, I would have no problem. And if I could get a ticket, it wouldn't have to be in the 50-yard line, but that's the time I'd go. That's kind of my career. That's predicated on two things, having the extra money to burn and the Browns getting there. So, you know, Seattle, this game sold out. They allocate so many tickets for the Seattle and Denver. Sold out, gone. And the scalpers are getting triple what the print prices are. I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, if you're some big Seattle Seahawks fan or Denver Broncos fan and diehard, you're going to drop $7,000-$8,000, right? You're going to fly out to New York City or New Jersey. You're going to stay in one of those hotels around there. You're going to party like crazy. It ain't going to be cheap, Bill. And you're going to mingle with Joe Namath and mingle with this and mingle with that. You're going to get this. And it's going to be one of those events. And I think who's playing it? Is Justin Bieber playing at halftime, by the way? Who's the halftime show? It's probably Justin Bieber. So it was all hype. So it doesn't surprise me. These people can afford it. You know, and those that can't, guess what? You can watch it on free TV. Of course,
right.
And then, of course, you have to cook. Right.
And, you know, to be honest with you, I think TV is preferable to, freezing to death in the stadium. You know, with TV, you get all of the replays, the close-up action. For free, well, TV isn't free, but, for a lot less money, you get the best seat in the house. I mean,
can you imagine? I'm sure the Jumbotrons have better angles and shots of what's going on in the field than the TV does.
Yeah.
I kind of doubt it. Because, you know, it's TV that's running the Jumbotron. Bill, do you have any thoughts?
I'm just wondering if the reason they didn't put a top on there on the stadium was to have the ability to use their technology to get nice close-up pictures, whether it be from the field or whether it be from the air. It's all about the media. It has sports is just such a great moneymaker for our media. I don't know.
Okay.
It is amazing how expensive it is.
I'll rephrase the question.
Okay.
If you had the money, mm-hmm. would you want to go and freeze to death, pay a huge amount of money to watch the football game?
I would do it if I had like a box seat, you know. It's nice. They come and bring you the food. You don't have to wander out with the rest of the commoners. If I've got that much money, I guess I can be a little snooty. I would love to be in a box seat and watching this, because they just wait on you hands and foot. They give you better food than you pick up from the stands. It's really a nice place. But they also have TV in there too, so it's you know, if you didn't see it close up from the box seat, you look at the TV monitor anyway.
Right. Actually, I watched a segment on TV, I think it was yesterday or the day before. You could rent a box. There are only 220 boxes available for the low price of, I think Ring said, $800,000. Oh, ouch!
Yeah.
I seem to recall that they broke it down to cheap price per person, $31,000 per head. And hey, free food and drink. Perfect. Oh, way outside, my league. So, on the subject of games, less than 2 weeks from now, the Sochi Olympics are going to start up. Is it going to be a success, or is it going to be a bloodbath? Sam, would you take your family to Sochi?
I'm not a, you know, Simon, the answer would be no. That the Olympics nowadays are not what they were, because professionalism has, entered the face, and it's not to me. I wouldn't even watch it. So I have, I'm down on the Olympics. I used to love it when it was true amateurs competing against another, and all that stuff. You know, I mean, to me, it was all downhill after the Miracle on Ice, when the guys who weren't professional hockey players, if they were, they weren't that good. They sat on the bench. Most of them were, college guys, took on the Russian team, and won that, and that was excellent. But the Olympics, to me, as an American, as a citizen, when Carter used the Olympics as a political tool, it started to go down, downhill for me. And now they have them every 2 years, and it's just not what it used to be. And, and now it's all professionalism. I mean, I think it's pathetic that the United States sends the NBA basketball players to compete against, Jamaica. You know, it's like that, you know, I mean, no, you can't have basketball. You can't have the Jamaica bobsledding team anymore. Things like that will never happen again. These people coming out of nowhere, whether it was the United States 1980, the Olympics, you know, for the hockey team, or people you've never heard of coming out of nowhere to win for their country, for themselves, and whatnot, whatever the sport may be, because they were given an opportunity because they became amateurs. Now, that if they're not bought and sold by a corporation or a country, you know, it just doesn't mean anything to me anymore. And so that's number one. I would never go. It's and number two, I will tell you this. This is going to be the bloodiest Olympics since Munich.
Yeah, I have to admit that I have bad feelings about it. Bill, if you were given tickets, you know, would you take your family to Sochi?
No, I wouldn't go anymore. And it's so, again, it's the whole media is set up in such a way there. Probably the only few things that I really would like to see would all take place at the same time, and I would be in the wrong stadium watching something that I didn't really want to see. I mean, it's a problem. But secondly, it's amazing that everyone's predicting that it is going to be such a there's going to be terrorist attack against this, and it's really going to happen. And now I've been reading that that the terrorists that are behind it, what is it? I don't know how you pronounce that word. The J-I-H-A-D-I-S-T groups.
Jihadist.
That's it. That group is actually supported by the United States. Is that true, or is that just an ugly rumor that's out there? I was trying to get more information about it, but I couldn't find anything definitive. Did you come across anything?
Oh, I think this goes back in history to the old USSR. And our support of the Caucasus. Am I correct on that one, Sam?
Yep. Yeah, I think you're right on the button. I think, you know, it's funny, though, where this city is, it's not like it's a neighborhood near a big city, right? I think the closest city to it is... the old Stalingrad? I don't know what it's called now.
It's Volgograd these days.
That's, I thought it was a Putingrad. That's the closest big city, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the rumors have that the Black Widows are going to strike and all sorts of people. So they may not strike. See, I think a lot of us Americans, you know, like myself, until I started doing a little bit more research, saying, oh, they're going to hit the Olympics, they're going to hit the Olympics. I don't think they're going to hit the Olympics per se, but they're going to hit other parts of the country and around it like they already have. And I don't think Russia's going to be prepared for it. They're going to, you know, they're so dead set on anything happening to the athletes. The rest of the huge country is ripe for attacks. And I think you're going to see, and I think that's what the terrorist experts are saying, too. And that'll be it. These people want to make a major statement. And let's face it, I'm a big cowboy fan, and one of the great scenes always stolen in all the old cowboy movies is when the Indians are beating the drum, nothing ever happens. Then the drum beat stops, and the hero will say, now we have to worry. And that's what I think the drum beating with the terrorists, other than what's gone on in Kiev, and that's really not terrorists and whatnot, hasn't been a real terrorist thing lately. And that's when you start worrying.
All right. I personally used to be a huge fan of the Olympics. And in 1988, I was part of the Calgary Olympics. don't panic. I wasn't competing. I was part of the organizing committee, doing computer stuff, and to me it was a wonderful event. Everyone wore IDs the size of dinner plates. We stood out. You knew who was a competitor, just by their clothing. You knew who I was just by my, the way I was dressed. And everyone got along fine. And by the way, the Jamaican bobsled team was there. And
yeah.
they will be in Sochi. And they did some fundraising, and they've raised the 80K that they need. So they're headed to Sochi. But, it was a fun time. Why isn't it fun anymore? Why do people need to take the fun out of the Olympics? I mean, they're amateurs, or mostly. And I'll go back to 88. Sure, the Russian hockey team were all members of the Red Army. they were hardly what you would call amateurs. But, we just kind of put up with it. Sending the NBA to the Olympics, I thought was just out-and-out stupidity. I mean, no one wants that. What fun is it to watch professional athletes, whoop up on, people that are there, representing their country? And sure, they're not very good, but it doesn't mean you have to whoop up on them. It appalled me. Sam, I guess I'm with you on this one. Don't do it.
I just think that, the whole idea of the Olympics, it's just gone into, like everything else. I mean, it's probably the first thing we can really, that really, really look at, is that it's all about the dough at that point. I mean, remember when Salt Lake City, they it was all brought out about how they were bribing host cities, those cities that wanted to host the Olympics were bribing the members of the International Olympic Committee. I mean, worse than American politicians. Just bribery out and out. And it was so bad in Salt Lake City that they had one of the things Mitt Romney did. I could understand why Romney never really played up what he did and helped save the Olympics and save the image of them when he was running for president. It kind of came such far in the background, no one really cared. But he did come in and clean that up and fire a lot of people and got it up and running, and it was a real mess. And he deserves a lot of credit for that. I don't think he gets all the credit that he deserved as a leader for doing that. But anyway, it was a mess. I mean, we're talking serious corruption, serious this, and that's probably when we all should have realized what a joke it is. But yet, all these people, you talk to people, they love these Olympics. They'll watch everything. They're adamant about it. And they don't care that the LeBron James wins a gold medal. What did LeBron James get a gold medal for? How unfair is that to watch, you watch the Olympics and you see the NBA superstars out there. You see hockey. You see all the hockey things. Why not make WWF an Olympic sport, and we could have this international flavor to that too. I mean, to me, it's all one giant WWF, and it's just all about the dough. It isn't exciting, and there's no drama in it anymore. Do you agree? Oh, let's ask one more. How about was it last Summer Olympics when the men's finalist playing tennis with the two that just won played in Wimbledon the month before? You know what I mean? You know what it was?
Mm.
Something like that. You know, just, with the drama. That's what made it great when we were growing up.
Okay. Going back to the 88 games, I worked in, central command, shall we say. It looked a bit like, the pictures you see of a NASA command center. And really, that's what it was. Right? We handled radio, TV, and computer communications. We had this big wall of TV sets, right? You know, live feeds everywhere, and the place was you almost needed earplugs. I mean, it was always loud. There were only two quiet moments. One was the Jamaican bobsled team, who clocked in their fastest run when the sled turned over. and the other was the infamous ski jumper from Britain, Eddie the Eagle. I mean, we were in awe. This guy had no clue what he was doing. I've been at the top of that 90-meter ski jump. It's really scary. And he rattled down the ski jump and just gently plopped himself off the end and onto the snow. We were all so impressed. But that to me is what the Olympics should be about. Amateurs. Do you disagree with that, Sam?
No, I agree with you. It's pretty simple. We're on the same page about that. Simon, as much as you and I can agree, I think Bill does too, is that there's no drama in it anymore and all that sort of stuff, there's more people who will love this stuff than probably criticize it. And cause the purity of the Olympics is now gone because they've all, these are the same people who go, do whatever corporate America tells them to do. So,
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the problem. Unless something crazy happens, the only drama that this Olympics might have is the threat of terrorism.
Yes.
That takes away from it. Other than that, you probably, if you or I were really big sports, all the sports, people in sports who follow these sports know they'll probably pick who's going to win the gold, silver, and bronze in every sport. If that's because they follow this stuff. Agreed?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
To me, the modern Olympics has lost its heart. It's overanalyzed. Over-supported. Bring back the days where you just had a ragtag bunch of people who went out there and did stuff. And by the way, piece of trivia for you, a question: who has won, or which country has won more medals in the Winter Olympics than anyone else? Wild guess.
Which, who has?
Yeah.
Trivia. Ooh.
I hear Bill cheating in the background.
Go ahead, Bill, and take a stab.
Come on, Bill.
I don't know.
How about East Germany? That's my pick.
Nope. Completely wrong.
East Germany. I don't know.
Okay,
is
Bill?
Is it, I don't know, Russia?
Nope. It's Sweden.
See? Really? Well, it's always cold there.
Yeah, right. Okay, let's move on. Tuesday's a big day. It's going to be huge or a yawner, depending on your outlook. State of the Union address. Can Obama achieve anything in 2014? right now, looking back at 2013 and his State of the Union address, he didn't seem to achieve much then. And right now, things look even worse. He's also extending threats of using executive orders if Congress won't come to the table. Sam, you're a political animal. I'd love to get your take.
I think as far as the State of the Union goes, most people aren't going to pay attention to it. They're going to be freezing their asses off. That's going to be number one. I think as a president, I think the president's only State of the Union that really makes any sense is the first one he ever gives after some sort of tragedy or terrible thing has happened. Other than that, people know it's going to be much to do about nothing. And it's an overrated bully pulpit. And, it'll be the same old thing. He'll be up there. He'll acknowledge Michelle turning 50, and he'll show Michelle. I can hear Michelle 50 is the new 30. That'll probably be his line. Then there'll be seven people up there that they pick from obscurity to sit in the box, and they'll all have, done something great or to get there. Good for them. And that'll be it. He'll say the same old thing. He'll talk about Obamacare. He won't mention anything, and that'll be it. I mean, nothing new's going to happen, whether it's Bush, Clinton, or Obama, unless they're giving a State of the Union after something like Bush. The only time Bush ever did anything, was State of the Union meant anything, was after 9/11, and you could go on and on and on with every president. Obama's first one was anticlimactic because he'd just given a great inaugural speech when he was first elected. So, I mean, to me, it's all that. But no, it's all that. I mean, he's going to attack. He's going to go up. There's nothing going on in Congress right now, guys. They've already agreed to the sequester's over, all that. There's going to be no budget, no government shutdown. All of them are in re-election mode right now. The only thing that's going to be passed in Congress are feel-good legislation that both sides can get on board of so they can go back to the constituency and say, I did pass a few things. Nothing's going to happen. It's an election year. We're all out raising money to get reelected.
Right. But, the Obama threat of using executive orders to get what he wants obviously isn't sitting well with certain Republicans.
And it's going to go to the Congress. It's going to the whole Obama administration. Look, he's been one of the most he's been very Nixonian in his use of executive power. He'll do anything to get his way. He's made the presidency a much more powerful tool than it's supposed to be, because part of the problem is the Supreme Court is very slow at looking at the cases, like at the NSA spying cases. The Republicans are very weak in the Senate. I mean, the Senate is Obama's shotgun driver. Harry Reid is the shotgun rider for Obama, and they block everything for him to really get stuff. And to me, Harry Reid's biggest legacy is going to be that he deballed the United States Senate as a body, and that he put politics before the country, as most politicians do. I mean, not no different. And now the Senate doesn't act like the Senate. It's a blocking back for the president. And I don't think that's what it was meant to be. It was, what's best for the, by all means, support the president's bill, but what's best for the country, we have to do that. But anyway, Obama's done all that stuff. Until he leaves office and his legacy can be looked at and picked over by the historians and whatnot, this is what he's going to do. He uses executive privilege incredibly so. He wields it, and it needs to be reined back in whoever the president is. That's how we have checks and balances. This dude.
Okay. But Sam, surely your argument could be applied to the House.
Yes.
What's Boehner doing?
Look, they're both bad, okay? I mean, I look at it to say the biggest issue that took place last year was that was the only new issue. Because everything else seemed to be, there were two huge issues that took place last year. One was the war in Syria. Potentially Obama wanted to go to war in Syria with Kerry. We all agree about that. We talked about it, right?
Right.
Over Labor Day weekend, Obama wanted to go to war in Syria. There was a coalition of libertarian Republicans and liberal Democrats came together and said enough. That was great. They've stopped that from happening. I applaud all members from both sides. Remember, Boehner wanted, and McConnell and Pelosi, they all wanted to go to war. All the establishment wanted to go to war in Syria. It was establishment leadership, both parties, with the president, wanted to go to war. That was stopped. The second big issue that came up was to deball NSA, and it failed by 8 votes in the House. So there are some people on both sides of very strange coalitions that are looking at the key issues that are going to be facing us today, that are going to be facing us in 2014 and 2016, and NSA is numero uno. So we can say the leadership is very happy, Simon, spending $85 billion a month on keeping Wall Street afloat. The leadership of both parties loves them, to keep feeding the war machine, wants to go get us in Syria. There's no difference between the leadership, if you really think about it. Although I think they'll go on TV and fight over a couple things. The government shutdown took place because Boehner couldn't control the House. Some people really wanted change. You know what I mean? The leadership didn't want change. John Boehner wanted to keep the House, the government open. He didn't want to shut the government down. He was forced to. So the leadership of both parties, they're all the same of all three. It's the rank and file where there's some problems, and 2014 ought to shake that out. Sure, there's no general election.
Bill, you've been very quiet. Do you have any comments on this subject?
Well, President Obama reminds me of a parent who's failed his responsibility to his children. he says he's going to do something, and he doesn't carry through with it, and he can't get it right. And so one of the things that you learn as a parent is respectability from your children, because if you say you're going to do something, you follow through with it. And then you start, if you're not that kind of a parent, you then start threatening your children. And we're up to the point where all he's doing is threatening the House and the Senate of what he's going to do and how strong he is and everything else. But he's already lost he's just in this mode where the only thing he can do is to stomp his feet because he never really delivered on the kind of a good father that he could have been to our country and to the House and to the Senate. And he's lost everyone's respect. And that's where he is. So now he's threatening to use his power to not for the sake of trying to fix something really bad that's happened, but just because he's stomping his feet. And it's just, you know, he's lost. He's at the end of the life for presidency, and we need somebody else. We're done with him.
Okay, and who would the next person be? Hillary?
Isn't there somebody from Youngstown we can find? I mean, I don't know where they got it. We almost need an Olympic-like election where we bring in a nobody that we've never heard of that has some great ideas who's going to change the country, because, you know, we need people that are not in bed with political, whether they're Democratic or Republican. We need for them to have and live from their own personal convictions instead of this bureaucracy of the party system we got, you know? We need the Olympics of election. What do you think, Sam?
Okay, Sam. I know who you're going to be nominating. Give us the speech.
I have become a libertarian. I am going to. I am a registered Democrat. But you have to be in Mahoning County, or you can't vote on any issues because there is no Republican Party. I have been when I ran for office once, I ran as a Republican, but even the Republican Party hated me because I was pro-choice and I wanted to cut, and some other things. And I stood up at a meeting once and I was running, and the Republican women's group goes, "You're not anti, what's your stance on abortion?" I go, "Oh, I'm pro-choice, you know, it's a woman's right." And they started screaming at me and throwing stuff at me. I said, "Lady, I'm a running for effing county commissioner. The county commissioners of Mahoning County don't decide the law of the land. It's already been decided. You ever heard of Roe versus Wade in the Supreme Court?" And they freaked out. And I drove out and I walked out of that. I'm getting screwed. I'm not going to win any. I'm going to lose votes for my own party. And I told my then wife at the time, "I'm going to lose this election." People want to talk about abortion and not sales tax issues. And that was it. But I've become a libertarian. I'm a big. I started to follow Ron Paul in his not the last presidential election, the one before that, in McCain's 08. And I really like what he had to say about the Fed. And as things crashed in 08, you know, we all know that. And I started to read more about how Wall Street really runs the world and the Fed and this and that. And I became much more educated. I really started to like what Ron Paul started to say about monetary policies. And that put me into Hayek and all those guys. And not Selma Hayek, Simon, the Frederick Hayek. Well, Selma Hayek is a hot babe. Anyway, so make all that stuff. What's happened, you and I, Simon, Bill, we talked about this with Peter and Manny and everybody, is the Fed pumping of the economy, how Wall Street runs the world. I mean, example, at my own house, I know I'm going to bring it back to dude with my house, but the reason my house was torn down, I'm finding out, is because the banks are to stay out of jail. Paid fines to the federal government, and because they illegally foreclosed on millions of people. The money didn't go to the people who were illegally thrown out of their homes, credit ruined for life and whatnot. It went to each state, and each state decided to do with the money. And the state of Ohio, they gave some to Mahoning County. They gave it to the city of Youngstown. They ripped my house down. They acted on this money or they were going to lose it. And, you know, and it goes back to, that's what it was, you know, everything favors the government and the banks. and the little people get screwed. Some people lose their home. Some people get evicted out of their home. And nothing changed. And Obama had this great opportunity to do change all that in 08. And what did he do? He made the Fed stronger. He made the bank stronger. I mean, too big to fail is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. And we still have that today. We still have that today. Remember the bonuses paid by taxpayers' money to every, under Obama, under the Democrats, under the Republicans? And it's going to change. And the only thing that's going to change that, Bill and Simon, is a government, someone who runs for office who's not afraid to stand up to those people, stand up to that, and he'll probably be killed or she'll be killed. Or the bribers. Or they'll turn them into the system. They'll take them aside and say, okay, it's great what you said, blah, 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 but this is how we really do things in this country. Does it work that way? I mean, it seems, you guys tell me, did Obama get co-opted? Did Obama really want to change all this stuff in 08 when he got elected as the first black president? The Wall Street was melting, and they took him aside, and they said, hey, dude, this is, you can talk all you want, but this is the way we're going to do things.
I quite agree with you, Sam. That was a delightful rant, by the way.
It comes from shoveling too much, Simon.
You're right. Your idol, Rand Paul, was on CNN this morning, and It was quite delightful. I don't suppose you watched it?
I saw bits and pieces of it. I heard he called Bill Clinton a predator.
Okay. I want to switch
Wait a minute. Let's talk about that for a second. I don't want to bring up Lewinsky Gate. But would you two gentlemen agree with me that certain people in this country, Bill Clinton being one of them, the issue wasn't that he got a blowjob. The issue was that did he take advantage of the young girl? Okay, and to me that always was. Now, he never should have been impeached and all that. That's crazy. But the worst thing was that when Clinton got the blowjob, took advantage of Monica, liberal women's group came to the aid of Bill Clinton. But when Republicans were accused of the same thing, they couldn't wait to, blow Bob Packwood or whatever the other guy's name was. And the double standard, how some people in our society survive the double standard or the victims of double standard or the beneficiaries of double standard, it's just mind-boggling to me.
Yes.
That's all I want to say about that,
Right. I am in total agreement. And by the way, Oval Office blowjob did nothing but bolster Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I always thought way back then that I thought the Republicans would have been better off attacking him for being a predator, not impeaching him. They could have really, the public relations machine was way off kilter, but they always have been. The ones that jerk off Huckabee with his stupid statement about women getting horny. There's a good thing that's going to turn you off to young men. Young men want women to be horny. All men want women to be horny.
The GOP just seemed to have a unique ability to open mouth an insert foot. Yeah.
Absolutely, because when they get onto these issues, this is where the GOP is stupid. This is where Rand Paul is an idiot too. This abortion thing. It's about they still gotta go for the abortion money, the abortion shock groups and whatnot from the Christian fiction group. Okay. They have to do that, so they that's where they get in trouble. And these media people, that's probably what they're the best at, is getting Republicans to say stupid things about women, and which they've done a great job at. That's their job as media people, and getting Democrats to say stupid things about fighting wars and stuff. That's where they get these two groups all screwed up. and Rand Paul, you know, you shouldn't be talking about that. You know, to me, you're running for president of the United States, abortion. Very simple. If you're a small government guy, you would say, I don't want government deciding what's the Supreme Court's already spoken 50 years ago, said abortion is the law of the land. I'm a law and order guy. Let's move on. I don't like it. Then if you want to appease to the Christian right, you go, you know, I wish it didn't happen that way, but it did. Let's move on. We've got bigger issues to frame. But they don't. They get caught up in this, and they start talking about women's rights, and they start talking about this, and they start talking, and they lose. And like you said, Simon, the next step is open mouth, insert foot. You're absolutely right. And the media knows this, and the Republican right doesn't get it. Or the Republicans don't get it. Even Rand Paul, what are you talking about Bill Clinton for? What are you talking about him for? People
right.
Like Bill Clinton's got great popular, whether we love him or not. You know, this is my slogan about Bill Clinton. Better a blow job than no jobs at all. You know, you want to talk about Bill Clinton, I'll tell you something. It isn't about, you know what Clinton's legacy is? And no one brings this up. And I know, Simon, you know, and I know you will, Bill. He screwed the American worker better than any Republican president in the history of mankind, called NAFTA and GATT. That giant Ross Perot was right. The giant sucking sound happened, and it wasn't a blowjob. It was an ultimate blowjob that Bill Clinton, that Mexico pulled on the United States.
NAFTA. NAFTA.
That's the blowjob.
Right. NAFTA looked great on paper. No, Sam, even you will agree with that. You know, the idea of tearing down borders, great. But what happened? Mexico came up with the, I think they called them maquiladoras, cheap labor close to the border. Canada basically got fucked as well as the U.S. NAFTA didn't prove to be the great tool that everyone thought it was going to be. It didn't generate jobs. The lowering of tariffs didn't generate money. It just made jobs evaporate. And what was a $10-15 an hour job in the U.S. suddenly became a $10 or $15 a week job in Mexico. NAFTA, horrible thing. Hate to even discuss it. Sam, am I on the same playing field as you on this?
Yeah, of course, Simon. You know, it's always been, being from Youngstown, we lost a lot of steel jobs and the Midwest and everything. I still can't, if Bill Clinton comes into this town, you talk about the emperor's new clothes. This guy's responsible for the UAW having, 12 jobs left in America? And, and Pete, they will get out and light out, they throw rose petals in front of him. I'm surprised he's not on the donkey coming through with it. It's amazing. NAFTA and GATT was the coup de grace to domestic manufacturing. And anybody but unions, no way, they love them. And the one guy who spoke out about it ended up in the Clinton administration and after him was crazy Jim Trafficking. Not that he wasn't a crook, he was. But boy, he was one of the few Democrats to ever speak up about what a bad deal it was. And it was, and it happened. And he was, and again, go back to what Perot said. I couldn't imagine. And I wonder what the real hardcore data is on manufacturing jobs lost, tax dollars lost, tax bases destroyed, from all the jobs that went there, and God knows where else. And I do agree with you, Simon. On paper, what a wonderful idea. No borders, free trade, jobs for all, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe the Mexicans won't want to come over here because the jobs aren't there for them. But let's face it, the Simon, Bill, and Sam Corporation could leave America and build its widgets in Mexico for a fraction of the cost, and all three of us get richer and our shareholders get richer, we would move it.
Right.
And that's what happened. I mean, it was stupid not to think that was going to happen. And it did. And Slick Willie does not get the blame for that. And, he's the it's really funny to me. He deserves huge, that's his legacy. I hope someday it's brought up because it should be. And I think Obama's legacy will be the missed opportunity to reform Wall Street and the banking in 08.
That's ultimately going to be his legacy. I was the biggest fan of NAFTA. I really was. I thought, yeah, we're one big world, or we're one big continent, if you will. Let's tear those borders down and get on with business. Everyone can make money. Everyone can grow, but it didn't work out to be that way. Bill, any thoughts on NAFTA?
Well, I always wondered why it didn't work. Was it that it was too short-lived and the companies and other unknown factors were involved here that it was ultimately headed to get the jobs moved over to China? Or was it that this was really, again, more of a conspiracy in which we were going to get used to letting our jobs go from the United States? Was it a conspiracy, or was it something that just didn't work and it just provided an open door for everything to move over to China? I never understood that, because it should have worked. It really, really should have worked. And I'm so disappointed that it didn't.
Okay. I have to share a true story with you, too. I think it was around 2004, so it was about 10 years ago. I was living in Calgary, Alberta. I had just got my heating bill, natural gas, and I was having heart failure over it. It was something like $280 for a month. And, Alberta is a huge producer of natural gas. And there's a knock on the door. And it is my local, I think they call them MLA. Basically, guy looking for re-election and, kissing babies and stuff. And I said to him, okay, I only have one question for you. Alberta sits on huge, huge reserves of natural gas. Is that true? And he said, oh, yeah. And I said, so how come I've got this huge fucking bill? and his answer was, oh, it's NAFTA. We can't sell our product cheaper than what we charge in Florida. And exactly, how much gas is consumed in Florida heating homes. The conversation went downhill from there. But, yeah, that's my personal experience with NAFTA. I think the guy was incorrect, but if he was correct, that's scary. So we enter into a trade agreement, and, you know, one country dictates the sale price. Even though, from source to destination requires something like, 2,000 or so miles of pipeline. So, were people in Alberta subsidizing, cheap heating for the 3 days a year that people need it in Florida? Any thoughts, Sam?
Go ahead, Bill, you go.
Well, it's the same thing. It's like, shouldn't you be able to go to Africa and get diamonds for pennies on the dollar? I mean, but no, it's more expensive to buy diamonds in Africa than it is in New York City. So I don't get that either. There's other things like that. I bet oranges are more expensive in Florida and California than they are in the rest of the world, too. You know, it just, why is that? It doesn't make any sense. We should get a break on this. Or why is it, I'll tell you, there's refineries all over New Jersey for oil and gasoline. It's more expensive right around the refineries to buy gasoline than it is in Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, it's cheaper and there's less refineries there. So why is that? I don't get it.
Okay. Before I get really pissed, I'm going to change the subject. A moral story, or a story about morals. There was a young lady, Marlise, I don't want to murder her name, Munoz, aged 33. She was declared brain dead. It's been all over the all over the news. She was pregnant, and so the great state of Texas declared that because she was pregnant, even though she was brain dead, that they would keep her on life-saving, devices, ventilator, etc. Friday, the court ruled that the family prevailed. Family did not want her kept alive, particularly as the fetus had been deemed non-viable. They yanked the breathing tube at 11:30 local time this morning. It's a very sad case. Sam, did you read anything about this?
Yeah, just bits and pieces about it. I kind of shy away from these cases because they're so sad, as you said. I just support the family, and whatever the family wants in these type of cases is what I go by, because it's their family. who am I, who's the court, who's anybody else to agree or disagree? I mean, how can he go against the wishes of the family? And so whatever the family wants is okay by me.
How about you, Bill?
I'm with Sam on that, and I was I remember reading something about one of the judges that recused himself from the case because again he didn't want to be involved in this either. He didn't want to be a deciding factor of whether or not she needed to stay on life support or not. You know, I mean, I think that was a big step for that judge. I don't know. Did you hear about that part?
No, I didn't. No, the major part of the story, or at least major part I got out of it, was the fact that she had been declared brain dead, and that terminology runs true in all 50 states. If you're brain dead, you are technically dead, right? That there might be bits of you, you know, and still operating, albeit under artificial means. And this particular hospital took the law, or Texas law, and interpreted it to mean that, you know, okay, she's got a fetus, so there's still a little bit of life involved. You know, we cannot, in good conscience, and, you know, within the letter of the law, permit the fetus to die. It's a curious case, and yeah, I think one that is in some ways more spiritual than scientific. Any thoughts on that, Bill?
Well, I don't like the government trying to force a person who has personal convictions or, you know, religious beliefs to take one side or another. There are things that they should not be regulating, and most of this is really whether or not they believe that fetus can be saved because she... by keeping a brain-dead mother alive, again, I don't think that that should be regulated. I think that that's up to her and if she had a living will or her close family to make that kind of decision. I don't think the law should step into that at all. That's my gut feeling.
Sam, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I agree. I just don't think it should be up to the family. That's the period. You know, anything else is, you know, who are these people, you know, but they're, you know, they get involved. They get involved, and, you know, I get that, you know, those are the laws, and I mean, I just try to put myself into that situation. If that was my sister or daughter or something like that, would I want to go visit her every day? And no, I mean, I think that it's, you know, what a way to live. You know, I mean, that's not a way to live. And it's who is it, you know, and you get all these do-gooder groups and, you know, they just get involved and they shouldn't be involved. They don't know anything about this. We don't know anything about this. Who am I to pass judgment on someone I do not know? I have to go by what the family says and wants. If they said, we want to keep her alive and we're united and the baby will be born and we're going to raise it, then I'm all for that too. You know, I mean, I can go either way, but my thing is, it's whatever the family wants.
Hmm. Okay, I'm looking at the clock, and it's ticking down. So I want to end on a lighter note. Sam, you are a sports fan, and there's a couple of stories that hit the press this week. Number one, NFL are making noises about ending the extra point in the football game. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think that's I like the idea because it's an automatic. So I mean, I think it's good. Guys, we always have to be innovative. You know, movies have changed. Baseball, you need to bring instant replay in and things of that nature. So I think it's good they're looking to do that. I just hope they add more to it. So I know they want to do. You can go for one, you can go for two, and you lose one and add to it. I think the field goal, if it's from zero, you know, from 1 to 5 yards, should be 1 point. 6 to 20, 2 points. And if you kick a 60-yarder, you should get 4 points. You know, and do things more than that and change the strategy of it. I mean, so I'm all for that. I think it's a good idea. I always like, you know, going for two. It adds a little to the game. And like I said earlier in the podcast, you've got 90 million people like the NFL. They're not going to like it if it does stay. Because right, one of the things that the NFL is facing is, you know, this, you know, the really lack of inconsistency with the referees and what the helmet to have, you know, the hitting, worrying about the it's got to become less of a violent sport, which is one reason why it's so attractive, let's be honest, because it's a violent sport. And now that you're flagging anybody, if you blink at the quarterback, you get a flag, you know, and they take away from the game, you know, that's it. But, no, anything that's going to add to the excitement of the NFL or any sport, I'm all for it. I mean, let's face it. I don't know if you saw some of the ESPN cuts, Simon. They showed when the team was lining up to kick the extra point, and most of the players on both sides, they weren't even blocking or charging for the kick. They just go out there to get in the three-point stand. The guy kicks the point. They're not even attempting to block it. So I'm all for it. Good idea. Good idea, NFL. I hope you do it.
Well, you know, I can't remember the exact statistic, but it was something like, you know, out of 1,500-something attempts, you know, only three were missed in 2013. You know, which does make it look kind of pointless. Oh, sorry, excuse the pun. But, okay, enough of that.
What about Bill? Bill, are you for it?
Oh, I think they should make it more challenging. I was always thinking that maybe you could get like a 6-point kick if you blindfold the kicker. You know, just let's create a little excitement in the game.
All right.
The other sports news story comes out of the NCAA. There are some movements to pay athletes, and this is being received with varying degrees of acceptability. The numbers that I heard was, you know, a college athlete might get between $1,000 and $5,000 a year. Did you see this one, Sam?
Yes, I think it's an absolute travesty. These guys are getting free rides for colleges to play sports. They don't have student loans. They're getting paid enough, and so they should not be paid. If they were having to pay to go to college, then that's a different story. They all get free rides. I mean, what's a four-year education worth? And so therefore, and plus they get free meals, free this, free that. And I'm sure the boosters give them money and cards and all that, and all the stuff we don't know about. But the stuff that we do know about, hey, you're getting a free education. You're not graduating with any student loan debt. Screw you. You know, you get enough.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Okay, we're just about flat out of time, so let's wrap this up. Bill, any parting thoughts for us this week?
I'm looking for some warmer weather. We got a lot of snow this week, and I know it's winter and everything, but Jersey has been kind of my favorite northern state for not getting a whole lot of snow. So I'm hoping that we can turn up the thermometer and get it a little warmer here. And I hope that anybody else that's been suffering through feet and feet of snow has a warmer week ahead.
And Sam.
Bill, I got bad news for you. You got 3 more days of it, and then it's supposed to get warm. Tonight my wife and I are going to burn Al Gore in effigy. I keep our fire going, but what I love about this, everyone's whining and complaining about how cold it is. In about 6 months, there'll be one going, God, I wish it was cold out. It's so hot. It's so hot. And we're just a bunch of nature. Stop whining. You got a fire. We got heat, stay warm and do the best you can. Watch some television. Go to a movie. Stop complaining. It could be a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for indulging me again this week, and have a great week, a safe week, and I'm sure we'll be reconvening next Sunday. Until
Super
then,
Bowl Sunday.
Right.
Oh
wait, one last thing. Why do they call it Super Bowl, Simon?
I thought they were now calling it the Pot Bowl.
Right, exactly. Because with the 2 states that legalized marijuana, I'm in the Super Bowl.
Okay, until next week, gentlemen. Goodbye.